Chapter 8, and we'll start reading maybe about the 31st verse, words of Jesus. As he spake these words, many believed on him. And then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, then there's that word which, boy, you'll find so many times in the Bible. Amen. If. Did you notice that? You got your Bible open. If. John 8 and 31, and right in the middle of that verse, Jesus said, if, amen. Now that is completely and totally contrary to the doctrine of election. That is the doctrine of what is to be, will be, if it never does happen. And unconditional election, eternal, everlasting security. Amen. As the old hard shells, I used to listen to Jailer Sir Bradley Jr. driving across the country every night on WCKY, Sunday night on WCKY, and they had such good harmony in their singing. I listened to them to hear the singing and hear Jailer Sir Bradley Jr. tell us that God's little sheep are as sure for heaven as they were already there. Amen. And the Bible says, if, that's contrary to that doctrine, did you know it? Amen. He said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word. Conditions, amen. Then are ye my disciples. Indeed, it looks to me like we're bound to the word of God. You don't like being bound? Then you don't like the word of God. You don't like the ties, the chains. You don't like the idea of the, quote, Danny mentioned it last night. One of his relatives said they wasn't a, quote, religious fanatic. Amen. In other words, you just do as you please, live any old way you want to, and then pray through real good just before you die and go to heaven. And that way you live your life without being a religious fanatic. Came on a man by the roadside hanging out of his car with blood dripping out of his head, and he was already dead, and the people was flashing their lights and motioning us over to the side. Amen. We didn't know what was wrong, but he had started to pass a Baptist preacher's wife coming from Donovan, Missouri, and the Baptist preacher had gone fishing in Current River, and his wife was going shopping in Poplar Bluff, and this guy passed a car, this Baptist preacher's wife's car, and met a garbage truck head on, and drove the front wheel of that garbage truck back. I mean a heavy, big truck. That little old car drove that front wheel, that garbage truck, back against the cow. And that garbage truck took off to the ditch and landed in a guy's front yard right there on 142. And me and my dad came on that wreck, amen, with that young man hanging half out of his car. Already dead. You don't have much time to pray in a case like that. You don't have much time to get saved just before you die in a case like that. Amen. And the preacher's wife was injured, and we prayed for her and talked to her and tried to comfort her. Her little baby was in the back seat. Her little child was in the back seat in a restraining chair and wasn't even hurt. And the state patrol said, Missouri State Patrol said, that ought to be a good argument for child seats. It was right there beside the road. Amen. Child wasn't even hurt. Mama was bad hurt. And one man killed, snatched into eternity in a moment's time. Hey, amen. We need to know God. We need to live for God. We need to walk with God. We need to make a constant effort to continue in his word. If ye continue. I've got a book back there in my library, part of my library. I've got my library scattered all over the country. Amen. But anyway, part of my library is back there. And I've got a book back there from, if it's not up at the house, by Guy Duty. Guy Duty taught one of the Assembly of God Bible schools for years, and about 12 years ago I went to preach for Brother L.D. Savage in Massanova Church out near Winchester, Virginia, and there's other towns around there, but he's right out in the country about 70 miles from Washington, D.C., we went out to eat one night after church, had to drive some distance to go to an eating place, and they run into a couple of young men that they knew, and Sister Savage asked, "And how's Brother Duty?" And they began to talk about Brother Duty, and I heard this young man say, "I've heard Guy Duty preach all my life." Well, I had some books by a fellow by the name of Guy Duty, some awful good books, and I said, "You talking about Guy Duty that wrote all the books?" as I chimed in, and they said, "Yes, amen." And so Sister Savage said, "I can take you to see him, but I'd sure like to go." So he's dying with cancer. And so one day, Sister Savage took me out across the countryside and up to a humble home there in the hills of Virginia, this side of Washington, D.C., and I got to talk to Guy Duty. And I got to buy all of his books. And one of them was taken from this very verse right here, "If ye continue." And boy, it's a good one. "If ye continue. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Amen. I looked at him, told him about one of his books that I'd read, and his eyes grew wide as he lay there in his bed, and he said, "It took me 14 years, he said, "to write that book." Isn't it amazing that we have at our fingertips through the miracle of modern printing? Amen. The printing press. I think all inventions was for sending the gospel to the ends of the earth. The major inventions today that we enjoy. Amen. My. What an opportunity we have. Did you know the first book printing on the Gutenberg press, the first printing press, was the Bible? First book was the Bible. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? We have, because of the printing press, all these Bibles, all these books, all these wonderful things that men took years of research to write at our fingertips. Praise God. Golden things. Things of great spiritual depth and power. Praise God. Pardon me, sometimes I get carried away. Amen. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." What if you don't continue? Are you still his disciples? What's the use Jesus making a statement like this if it's just a double talk, if it's just a play on words? "Oh, well, I didn't really mean it. You're really once saved, always saved. You're going to heaven no matter what you do." Is that what he said? No, it's not what he said. Amen. No, 1,000 times. No, he said, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." I'll tell you what you must do. You must continue today and continue tomorrow and continue the next day and the next day and the next day and continue next week and next month and next month and next year. And if you continue, you're going to make it. How many believe we can make it? All we have to do is serve him one step at a time. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The young preacher asked the old gentleman, said, "Can you live perfect?" And the old gentleman said, "No, nobody can live perfect." Amen. And he went into a lengthy essay that nobody can live perfect. Then finally, after the old gentleman was through with his lengthy essay, amen, that nobody can live perfect. Amen. The young man said, "Dad, do you think you can live perfect one day?" And he said, "No, nobody can live perfect one day." He said, "You're bound to do something in a day's time."
Dad, how about 1 hour?
Nope. Nobody can live a perfect 1 hour. I said, you're bound to do something 1 hour, think something, or some way or other you render yourself imperfect.
He said, what about 1 moment?
And he said, well, I guess anybody ought to live perfect 1 moment, he said. And young preacher said, and why don't we just live perfect moment by moment?
Hey, that's all we got to do to live for God. Amen. Be living for God next year, 10 years from now. Just one, take it 1 moment at a time. Amen. Snap your fingers. That's a moment. Praise God. 1 moment. Amen. That's 2 moments. Amen. A few seconds. Hey, you think we can make it 10 of them? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're out, devil. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, down for the count. 10 seconds. Amen. You won for 10 seconds. Praise God. I think if we make it 10 seconds, we might make it a set of 6 of them. Amen. That'll make us 60, wouldn't it? A whole minute living for God. Well, why not 2? Why not 5? Amen. Well, why not 60? And make it a whole hour living for God and throw in some good prayers and some good meditations and read some good books and pray for somebody and help somebody, praise God, and finally fill a whole day of 24 hours with good stuff. You think we can do that? Amen. By the grace of God, we can do it, can't we? By the grace of God. Amen. Well, I'm using up my time and I haven't even got started here. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I talk a little while about true freedom, true liberty. Amen. Ah, yes. Listen to this. I'm reading in 2 Peter chapter 2. Boy, this is powerful stuff. Amen. But man, I'll tell you. They shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to write in the daytime spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Man, some way, somehow they got right into church. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart have they exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children, can it happen? It is. It has. Amen. I've seen it happen. Right in church. Amen. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. Who was Balaam? He was a preacher, a prophet that went bad. God talked to him. Angels talked to him. Now, folks, amen. I've traveled over 1,000,000 miles for God. Maybe 2. Amen. And I spent 46 years in the ministry. Amen. And I've never had an angel come to me and talk to me, and Balaam did. That is, that I knew of. I might have had some, you know, that I didn't know, angels unawares. That happens quite often. Amen. But Balaam had an angel talk to him. Lord talked to him. But he sold out. Amen. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, and don't they do it today, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those who are clean escape from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. How serious is that bondage? For if after they escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better that they, for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after that they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit. All the time still preaching their new doctrine, promising liberty while they themselves are servants of corruption. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, all the time preaching the new religion of today, which is, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. It's the new religion. It's the religion, folks, that is preached by cowards. Nowadays, the pulpit is graced by men are cowards. Brother Burkett several years ago made the statement behind this pulpit that nowadays the cowards outnumber the men that espouse the true doctrine. Who is a coward? That's the fellow that's thrown in the towel and decided if you couldn't lick them, join them. Amen. And promise them liberty. Even though while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. It can't happen. Look around you. You don't have to look very far. It is happening right before your very eyes. It is happening. Amen. It's the new religion. It's the religion of the cowards. Why cowards? They are no longer willing, for whatever reason, usually the consequences, if you'll allow me, they are no longer willing, for whatever reason, to preach the truth that sets men free. Amen. And this is the irony of it. This is the paradox of the whole thing. They promise liberty. At the same time, they don't give liberty. They promise liberty without preaching the whole truth, nothing but the truth, which alone can set men free. Oh, we're going to set you free from those old elements of bondage and traditions of men. Yeah, we're going to set you free from those old fogey ideas. Hey, you can't read the Bible and live in the lids of God's Bible without being a radical Christian. Without being a radical, period. Amen. Because the Word of God is radical. It draws lines for men to walk in. Amen. It's as straight as the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Amen. I mean, I don't know of hardly church growth seminar in the country that don't steer clear away from this. Amen. Few there be that find it. Of course, I don't attend any church growth seminars. The best church growth seminar, in my opinion, is to tarry until you be endued with power from on high. After they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the real power of God, amen, they had 3,000 real converts in one day's time. Now, that's enough to keep 12 men busy baptizing folks. Amen. I mean, 3,000 converts and 12 men. Ooh, it's a long, long line, boys. Praise God. Baptizing three. I mean, first thing you know, you're going to have to enlist some help. Hallelujah. To baptize 3,000 converts. My, you got their hands full overnight. More church growth they can take care of. And why? Because they got the baptism, the real baptism of the power of God from on high. And God gave them a mighty move of God right in Jerusalem. Amen. I'm talking about true freedom, true liberty, But the religion of today is the religion of a false freedom. Amen. I brought with me a Finneland's book on Christian perfection. It's kind of an abridged version of some Finneland. I call him Finneland. Writings I like to read after Finneland and Fletcher. And amen, those great deep writers of bygone years. Amen. And Fletcher's one of the best teachers I know of against the once grace, always grace, eternal security, unconditional election teachers in the Methodist movement. Amen. And he would caption everything he said, "You know it's the truth." I like that. Praise God. Well, here's Finneland. He said, "Oh my God," he's talking about semi-conversions. "Oh my God, preserve me from this tragic bondage which human insolence is not ashamed to call liberty." Did you hear what he said? He said, "Oh my God, preserve me from this tragic bondage." Now listen, folks, this will put your brain in a whirl. Amen. The very thing that they call freedom in charismatic religious circles today, Finneland here is calling tragic bondage. Bondage to what? Bondage to the world. The world is the most severe taskmaster there is. Amen. So I just don't understand why so-and-so backslid. I understand very well the world got him. I don't understand why such a preacher did the way he did. I understand. I can tell you exactly. I've got the answer for you. Amen. The world got him. Amen. I don't understand why Paul's a co-worker, amen, Demas, had forsaken him. Paul tells us why he forsook him. He said, "Having loved this present world." Amen. It took him away from church. It took him away from God. It took him away from the ministry. And it will us too. "Oh my God, preserve me from this tragic bondage which human insolence," and that's what it is, "human insolence is not ashamed to call liberty." That's what Peter said. While they promise liberty, they themselves are servants. In bondage. Amen. I read in the paper, just kind of made me mad, where this leader said that we ought to apologize for slavery. There ain't nobody living today that's got any. And I don't know anybody that had any. Amen. And I don't know anybody that remembers anything about slavery. What good is it to apologize for slavery? Folks, they're looking for freedom and opportunity in all the wrong places. Amen. All the wrong places. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, yes. Amen. While they promise liberty, they are servants of corruption. It is in these that we are free. It is thy truth which will deliver us. To serve thee is to reign. Reign. R-E-I-G-N. To serve thee, Christ, is to reign. To reign is the exact opposite. It's all the way 180 degrees the opposite of slavery. To be a king is not to be a slave. Praise God. Oh, yes. He took the rags from off my back and he gave me his love to keep me warm. No money I know could buy what I hold from a beggar. He made me a king. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and praise God a little bit. That from a beggar, praise God, we've transformed by the grace of God from a beggar to a king. Hallelujah. Let me read it again. Oh, my God, preserve me from this tragic bondage which human insolence is not ashamed to call liberty. It is in thee that we are free. It is in thy truth which will deliver us. To serve thee is to reign. Hallelujah. Worship him, dear children of God. Praise God. Away with the new religion. I'll take the road I know. Woo! I'll take the way with God's despised few. I started in with Jesus, and I'm going through. Amen. In his chapter on resignation, he said, golden chains are no less chains than are chains of iron. A person exposed to envy and deserves to be pitied for it. Your captivity is in no way preferable to that of a person held unjustly in prison. Amen. Oh my. Amen. You may think you've got a right to your jealousy. You may think you've got a right to your envy. Amen. But those luxuriant golden chains of envy and jealousy that you allow in your life are a prison to you, even though they are forged of gold. The one thing which should give you real consolation is that God takes away your liberty. And it is indeed this consolation which would sustain the innocent person in prison of whom I have just spoken. Thus you have nothing more than him except a phantom of glory, which is not giving you an actual advantage, put you in danger of being dazzled and deceived. The last words that Jesus said, amen, in Matthew 24, or along the last of his word, was, take heed that no man deceive you. Amen. Oh, there are many good things in here that I've got underlined. Amen. Resignation. That's resignation to God's will. Resignation to God's providence. Resignation to where God has put you. Amen. Before this, you walked where you wished to. But when you are older, another stronger than you will guide you and will lead you where you do not want to go. Let yourself go and be led. Do not hesitate on the way. Isn't that what Jesus told Peter? They're going to take you where you don't want to go. Amen. Last words, Peter, John 21. Amen. Follow me. Amen. Yeah, Peter was tempted to envy John. Turned around and said, what about this man? And Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, that's none of your business, Peter. You follow me. Amen. Hey, quit looking at the other fellow and look to Jesus. You don't have any right to forge those luxuriant chains of envy. It'll do nothing but sour you and hold you down. Amen. Get your own blessing. Praise God. Before this, you walked where you wished to, but when you're older and other stronger, then you will guide you and will lead you where you do not want to go. Let yourself go and be led. Do not hesitate on the way. You will go like St. Peter, where nature, jealous of its life and liberty, does not want to go. You will go to pure love, to perfect reconciliation, to the total death of your own will, while accomplishing that of God, who leads you according to his good pleasure. Amen. You must not wait for freedom and a retreat to detach yourself from everything and to vanquish the old man. The dream of a free situation is only a lovely idea. Perhaps we'll never reach it. We must keep ourselves ready to die in the bondage of our state. What though God's providence prevents our plans for retreat? We do not belong to ourselves, and God will only ask us for what depends on us. The Israelites in Babylon sighed for Jerusalem, but how many there were who never saw Jerusalem and who finished their life in Babylon. What illusion if they had always put off until the time of their return to their country, giving faithful service to the true God and perfecting themselves. Perhaps we shall be like those Israelites. Let me go back and read that again. What illusion if they had always put off until the time of their return to the country, giving faithful service to the true God. They didn't like it in Babylon, Mike Allen. You wouldn't have either. Amen. But if they hadn't have been faithful to God, some of them, we'd never heard about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, amen. They were in Babylonian captivity. They were slaves. They were not at liberty to go home. Why? God, in His providence, had put them there. And that's why we got the book of Daniel written the way it is. That's why we got three Hebrew children going through the fire furnace like they did. Because they had to become accustomed, if you will. For 70 long years, it was God's will for them to stay in Babylon. Amen. Jeremiah told them, your effort to go against the kingdom of Babylon is not God's will. And you know what? They almost killed him for it. They said, you're not patriotic, Jeremiah. You're suggesting we surrender to Babylon? Yes, because of your sins, God is going to punish you through my servant Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. Amazing thing. Amen. But they decided, some of them did, we're going to be faithful even though we're in Babylon. We're going to be faithful even though we have to go through the fiery furnace. We're not careful to answer thee about this matter, O king. Amen. Our God is able to deliver us, but if he don't deliver us, we're still not going to bow to your golden image. And they were faithful, even in Babylon. Some of you can remember today when you first came to Ohio. The only reason you left the beautiful hills of Kentucky and home, your father's left home to come to Ohio, was because he was starving to death in Kentucky. They needed a job. And for a long time, they drove back home on weekends when they could. Amen. Every time they could, they went back. Amen. But you finally at last got used to living in Ohio. You finally at last got accustomed to living in Ohio. Amen. And I wrote in the footnotes of Fenelon's book on resignation to God's will. Amen. I wrote in here, Ohio. And after I read the whole thing down to the bottom and got down how that they finished their life in Babylon, I said, yes, Ohio. Amen. You know what? If you hadn't resigned yourself to stay in Ohio, there wouldn't have been any such thing as Pentecostal Highway of Holiness Church with a Pentecostal and a holiness emphasis. Praise God. Amen. And you have blessed through this country. Amen. Hundreds of churches have sprung up, worshiping God old time holiness style. Hallelujah. because the Kentuckians and the Tennesseans and the West Virginians, when they came to this part of the country, homesick as could be, they brought their religion with them. And it was a trip back home to have services in the old-time way, the old-time power of God moving, praise God, old-time holiness preaching, old-time holiness standards. And did you know that in the industrial north, the holiness standard is better preserved, and the country-top tradition of informal, spontaneous worship is better preserved right here than it is back in the country now? Amen. Amazing miracle. Some people decided to be resigned to God's will and serve God even if they had to stay in Ohio. Amen. Praise God. And that way they made the most out of their bondage. They made the most out of their servitude. Yes, they had to work in the industrial north. They had to work in the factories, amen, day in and day out. But they had money then to pay tithes and to support missions. And hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars, amen, have been sent into all the world because you were resigned to God's will, amen, to stay where you were, even though it was servitude of sorts, even though it was, as some have said, keeping your nose to the grindstone. Amen. And as one old country singer here in Southern Ohio, amen, wrote a song working in the industrial north up in Detroit City, amen, the refrain said, I want to go home. Amen. A lot of them wanted to go home, but they couldn't go home. Amen. And be in the will of God. God kept them here, as it were, with their nose to the grindstone, working and doing the will of God. Praise God. Amen. And so one way to go back home, one way to see Mama, one way to recapture the memory of Dad, one way to recapture the memory of the old home place, was to recapture the faith of Mom and Dad. And so they decide, I'm going back to church. Instead, that's the way to go home. Go to church and go to God. Go to the altar, praise God. Sing the old-time way. Have the old-time power of God moving. Get the blessing again. Amen. And don't swallow this new religion today, which is the religion of cowards, the religion of those who don't have enough backbone to buck the tide. Amen. They've thrown in the towel. They promise liberty, while they themselves are servants of corruption. When Jesus said, the only way you can be really free is to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Sing us a good song while we take the offering for home missions. And Brother Bill Corn, amen, down in Phelps, Kentucky.